No, glad that you're here with us tonight. Week number 8 tonight, and we're going to deal with protection for the victims, protection and backup for yourself. And we had scheduled a special guest, a counselor out of St. Louis. We deeply appreciate Mary Jo. She has contacted me. She has gotten sick. Her voice is gone. She cannot talk on the phone. So we have a different individual that's going to call tonight. I'll tell you about that around 8:30 Eastern Standard Time here. It is about 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. We are right now 2 or 3 minutes into the training course. If you're brand new, we're glad you're here. If you're in the chat room, classroom, we're glad so many of you that have been. Now, see, my concern always in teaching training courses like this and on spiritual warfare is that well, there's always some trouble. There's always individuals that all of a sudden get attacked and they don't know what's going on and they go through things. So that's why we kind of added Monday night. Yesterday, spiritual warfare, we took a break for 1 week. We are into 7 weeks. We're going to actually go 7 more weeks in the spiritual warfare class. Now, tonight is week 8. Next week is week 9. That will be the last week for this half of the class. We will take a 2-week break. I will have homework up for you, by the way. And then we will have another 9 weeks or more with more and more in-depth. You're in the basic part. The first 9 weeks, basic part of dealing with occult satanic crimes. One of the reasons, last 30 years, off the charts, the psychologists know it, the officers know it, around the world the reports. I have a friend that has done a lot of research lately on Russia, and report after report after report after report of satanic crimes, anywhere from dabblers to traditional Satanism to the popular and to the psycho-Satanist. Now, we list the different kinds of Satanism in a course already done, 24 hours. It's called Exposing Satanism 101, and that's on the website, shatterthedarkness.net. To the left, scroll down a little bit, the free courses, and under those free courses, you can get that one, too. Once again, what I think is a basic overview, but the majority of believers and pastors and leaders don't understand that material. Now, the reason we need to understand that is something that some of you may have sent to me. Some sent it to my Facebook page. Some sent it to my directly to my email about the little fifth grade girl in Sacramento, California. Have you heard about that? I'm going to tell you about that. I might play part of the clip as I did earlier tonight. The regular Ragged Edge Live radio, we're doing a series this week called Didaskalos Satanas. What did and does Satan say? What is his communication? So we went over the Satanic Bible. Tonight we went over what's called the Devil's Bible. And there's a few others. The Codex Gigas, we're going to go over. The Al-Jilwa book, we're going to go over, and other things. But ultimately, in a global sense, there is no deception without communication. Stop and think about it. There is no deception, no seduction. There is no ability to offer you to, walk from God or to offer Satan to offer anybody without communication. So it's vitally important we understand that all the SRA victims, that even the programming is based on a lot of the satanic agenda, the communication, the ideology, the teaching, the didaskalos, the teaching, the doctrine of hell. So, yeah, I noticed that tonight, and here's what happened concerning the class tonight. We're going to give 5-minute introduction, then we got to get into it because we only have 2 hours tonight. I'm glad you saw that. When we saw it, we didn't know that. It went back to the old original night that we began at 2 hours, and by the time I got to it tonight, I could not change it. So we're locked into 2 hours. We're going to go 1 hour really hard and fast into this chapter, it's week 8, it's page 85 in your workbook, by the way, 85 in the workbook. Going to give you 5 factors of protection for the victims, some factors about protection for yourself, protection for your team if you're building a team, and I recommend a team, and I'll give you some of that, but it's only because the original from 8 weeks ago, we had this class listed at 2 hours, And it has gone back to that because I didn't update it past the eighth week. So I've got to update it for the rest. It'll all be 3 hours. But tonight we are locked in. Can't do anything about that. 2 hours long. Glad you're here. Let's put up some prayers too. And I ask you to put up prayers in advance. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us wisdom. Give us insight. Give us help. Every single individual in the class, all those hundreds and hundreds that are downloading and listening, Lord, bless them. Bless those who are learning and just stepping out to become part of the 10 million fierce. I mean, many believers around the world that want to stand like Philip did in the book of Acts, that strong. So bless them, strengthen them, deliver all from the enemy, deliver the class from the enemy tonight. And Father, we want to also be empowered by the Spirit of God to have boldness, not to be afraid to have engagement, encounter. I mean, when people are possessed and demonized, Lord, we want to be sent. We want to help in the name of Jesus and by the authority you've given us, see them set free. We pray for those who are Satanists and others that are listening to the class only to see what we're saying so they can alter their approach. God, engage them. Those who may be doing the heavy stuff, blood ritual, anybody that's doing that, Lord, may, as in the Old Testament, may the terror of the Lord fall on them. May they know what it is to have God engage them, and may they repent and turn to Christ. If you don't know Jesus tonight, listen, he's the presence, the power, the life giver, the healer, the deliverer. And so I pray that you know him. You can, if you don't, by coming to the living Savior who died for you, shed his blood, was buried, rose from the dead, alive forevermore. He's coming again. Glad you're here. Tonight, let's dig right into this, and I'm going to dig into the story tonight that I heard. How many heard the story already? By the way, is the sound okay tonight? We are on an automatic volume. We're on automatic tonight, so where it'll sound whatever the sound is according to Blog Talk, it should sound that way to you. So it sounds like it's okay. I'm glad for that. Going to be very excited to have a call-in guest tonight who's been on the field with me, I think, for probably 20 years or so. I'm going to call in at 8:30 the second half tonight. So we're going to hear some of his true life stories in engagement with the underground, as we've seen. Tonight we're at page 85 in the workbook. We are on week 8, and we're starting off with A, protection for the victims. Again, victims of satanic ritual abuse, victims of it's physical, it's sexual, it's every single concept of abuse to alter them, trauma-based, to cause the dissociation, to cause the pliability, the passivity, and the surrender. So the programming, the splitting, the demonizing, and the using of them. It's an outrage, and we've talked about the four generations. First generation, 55 to 65, basically. Second generation, 45 to 55, I'm sorry, 35 to 45, basically. Third generation, around 17 to 27, basically. The fourth generation, between the ages of 0, being born, up to about 12 or so, or maybe even 14, 15. And you've got to understand that if you know anything about the low statistical analysis of first generation, some say a couple million, 3 million, 4 million, 5. Colin Ross, the psychiatrist, says up to 10 million in the United States, not counting Great Britain, Canada, Australia, Europe, Russia. And Russia has deep, deep, broad problems in this area. And so when we talk about this tonight, I want you to, many of you, how many heard about the little girl in the classroom in Sacramento that began to cut herself, began to draw what they called Illuminati symbols, and began to tell the classmates that she wants to kill them, sacrifice them to Satan. She wants to shed blood. Did you hear about that? I'm going to play part of the actual TV broadcast out of Sacramento. That again, I want to say thank you to many who sent this to us. But let's. Let's get this queued up here real quick, and I'll play this for you, because I think this is telling, and we might even have a fourth generation child in school that is that is actually going through while exposing, being exposed. So let me, I need to stop that right there. There we go. We are on this clip right here we want to go to, and we're going to see if we can, that is not queuing in. If you've seen it at all, we're going to play it here in a second, but it's all about a little girl. And it's strange to me that nothing was done concerning her in the classroom.
Brianna, Jared Neiman, and Dwight Yoakam that's to the Nugget Memorial Week.
There's the commercial. We'll wait for the actual. Here it is now.
Students who were in the classroom are telling News 10 that the little girl even tried cutting herself and another student in class.
As frightening as that sounds, some parents are fuming mad, and the school, they say, didn't do more to protect their kids. News 10's Simney Chuen is live at John Sloat Elementary, where it all went down. Simney?
Little pause in the commentator, but listen to the story.
This is a letter that went home with kids today about what happened. It tries to reassure parents and tells them that there were no weapons or dangerous objects involved. But one parent calls that an outright lie. And tonight we talk with kids who were in the classroom at the time, and they give us an eyewitness account of what happened.
So I was scared and I was crying really bad.
Students at John Sloat Elementary describe a day of horror on Thursday when one of their classmates, a fifth grade girl, started shouting she was part of the Illuminati and threatened to kill others.
Now stop there. That's 57 seconds into the news report. Shouting that she's part of the Illuminati and that she's ready to kill by sacrificing them to Satan, wants to sell her soul. How does a fifth grader know all this stuff? How does a fifth grader know about shedding blood and sacrificial stuff and the Illuminati, you know, language material? Now, this comes again. Think about it. Sacramento, California. We've already got a conference that Tom Dunn has set up in Sacramento. We're going to be there in the, I think the second week of July. We need to pray as a class and a group that somehow I can get to. I want to hunt this down. I want to get to that little girl. And I'll tell you why. I want to get to her because, as I mentioned, satanic ritual abuse by the millions since the 80s, 90s, and the last 13, 14 years, we've seen the second generation, third generation, and nobody's checked into this factor. That just as first generation victims went to grade school and were silenced by the programming, by the demons, by the promises of punishment and all the rest, so are they. But this little girl seems to have broken out. Here's the rest of the story.
Your students.
She said she wanted to sell her soul to the devil. And then she said she'll kill everybody. Everybody just started crying because they were scared that they were going to die that day.
At one point, students say she grabbed a pair of scissors.
Yeah, I see they're trying to cut her toe and put the and like draw blood. But then she got up and try to stab another girl that was a seat away from her.
Students say she also drew Illuminati symbols like this one and wrote 666.
Now, this Illuminati symbol is the back of the dollar bill that she drew a picture of, the pyramid, the all-seeing eye, that kind of thing. And again, you're talking about a fifth grader that even understands this at all. She picked up a pair of scissors, was going to cut herself, and then went after another girl. And we got to wonder whether it's programming, whether it's a cult part, whether it's what is going on here. You're going to find out by the end of the story on this news broadcast that this little girl was in school the next day, not in the same classroom, but they didn't do much as of, anyway, last Thursday and Friday. Listen to the rest.
In the bathroom. Students say her outburst went on for at least an hour, with the teacher only telling them to ignore the girl.
He thought she was trying to get attention.
When they told the teacher about what was going on,
Antonio Farinas contacted News 10 because he thinks the school should have notified him immediately.
To not be notified about it all day until 6:30 at night last night, that was real, real upsetting because when I picked up my kids from school, they were in tears.
Some parents we spoke with think the school could have done more to protect the kids in class and should have taken the girl out of class much sooner.
With all the stuff that's been going on with schools, what does it take for a child to show you that there's something wrong, for her to actually follow through with what she says she's going to do?
They should have stopped it like right away and not let her scare them more, you know?
Very interesting story. They talk about later in this story that the girl was in school the next day, and good. I see that in the the classroom here that you're teaching your daughter. See, can children be taught to spiritual warfare authority? We found that 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th graders can all be, should all be. If you believe the scriptures teaching that there's going to be broader spiritual warfare issues and effects than ever in history, if you believe there's more now than there was, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, and then it's growing, why aren't we specializing with teaching when it comes to our own kids, the authority of Christ, spiritual warfare, and the power of the blood of Christ, and the reasons for all that? So I think that it's very vital because our kids are being exposed to so many things. And here's what you got to understand. Here's what we've got to know tonight. And this is part of the outrage issue, okay? Part of the outrage issue is this. This little girl, it's possible. I don't know her at all. And I'm praying that there's a way, there's some door God will grant to us that we get to this little girl. But I want you to hear this. If she is actually one of these chosen ones, I mean, a little girl that's been brought up in Satanism, underground, split, programmed, demonized, has the information, whatever else. Or even a lesser, I mean, at the very least, she's been brought up in something to have that kind of, you know, outburst. Look how the school responds. They don't know what to do. Most teachers don't know about satanic symbols and signs and programming and any of that. So we got to stop here and think, because I know that in our classroom and many, well, some of you that listen by the archives, you are SRA MPD. You are the first and or second generation victims. And our prayer for you specifically and all victims, extraordinary, miraculous grace in the name of Jesus. Extraordinary works of God in the name of Jesus for you and for all victims. Now, if it's true there's 5 or 6 million first generation, and 5 or 6 or 7 million second generation, 5 and 6, 7 million third generation, and most likely 3, 4, or 5 million first generation, or fourth generation. Fourth generation means you got now kids that are entering kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh, that may be split, programmed, sub-personalities, deep knowledge, demonization, and up front they're to look like good little schoolgirls and boys, but during the weekends and nights and through their history, they're being abused. And the older ones have told me over the years, they wished somebody would have known the signs. Somebody could have seen this. This is why I'm telling you we need 10 million fierce multinationally. This is why you are part of that. This is why we pray that God's power, God's strength, God's fierce drive in the area of love, mercy, and grace, and an outrage concerning the devil's work, that we will begin to look. Because if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're working with 4th, 5th, 6th graders in grades in church, in your church, church's children's church, guess what? You're gonna have these little chosen ones coming in from the satanic side. The first generation did that, you know, 40, 50, and up to 60 years ago. They were there. Second generation was there. Third generation's college. Fourth generation, well, many of them all across the United States, Canada, England, Europe, and into Russia, into nations that we don't even know how broad. You got to realize now that they're showing up in schools all over, and what can the secular counselor do? What can the secular school systems do for this, as they are now entering? So this outbreak in Sacramento may be what we're talking about. Now, just to tell you about that, to let the burden of that to fuel you in outrage, to say, God, give us all the grace and all the strength and all the boldness we need so that we can go forward. Page 85 in your workbook, blessings to all the students, both live tonight and by the archives everywhere around the world. Matter of fact, we're glad you're here. May the Lord Jesus Christ give you great strength, passionate burden for the lost, and a great equipping and empowerment. I want to go over 5 factors tonight, protection for the victims. I mean, what if you're going to go counsel this little girl and you find out she has subpersonalities and they've got cult priestesses on the inside that can speak ancient languages and summon demons? What if you got a little girl here that because here's the fact. If this little girl is a chosen one, from birth on, split, programmed, demonized, over and over again in rituals, over and over again abused, and being, you know, trained to be one of the satanic super soldiers. Well, here's an issue. What are you going to do for her protection? I know of a dear, sweet lady out of the state right next door to my state that has brought in kids. And two of those kids, clearly, without question, I've met with both of them. They would be considered third and or fourth generation, basically. Satanic, ritually abused, subpersonalities, desiring to go back to the coven, desiring the dark side. It's been a great battle for them over there concerning all that they've done. So what do you do to protect them? Because many of those have ended up, and many of you who have worked in psych wards for children, you've come to me at conferences all over. You've contacted me to tell me that in those counseling centers where they have children, anywhere from 5 to 17, that have subpersonalities, that have demonization, that cut themselves, that want to cut others, that want to draw pictures of sacrifice, that shed their own blood, even in the counseling rooms. They have to be sedated with drugs. That's all they do. And so what do you do? So I want to give you 5 factors. If you're going to work with some of the really, really hard cases here, 5 factors concerning protection for the victim. Number one, protection from the demonic, the satanic side. Because they're not, many of the victims you meet aren't even saved yet. They're seeking, they're looking, they're hoping, and they don't know the authority. They don't, and for them it's a complex thing in spiritual warfare. You have to stand in the gap. You have to be an intercessor. You have to stand in the gap. So you got to help come against all the dark side. Listen, demons on the inside of them, demons attached to specific personalities, demons on objects that they may have been given or may have been awarded in rituals and through their accomplishments in the dark side stuff, demons from the coven, demons that have been sent out by coven workers when the victim seeks help and sent out against them, and or astral projection from the covens by demonic empowerment to try to draw the victim back. All the victims talk about, they hear them calling, the demonic come, they astral out to beckon them to do things and so forth. Normally there is a lot of spiritual threats that end up being also physical threats. So number one, you're going to have to stand in the gap and pray against all the dark side. You're going to have to come against all the demons. You have to understand, if you have one victim, real victim, SRA, then they've got demons inside that are designed to be hidden down in there. They've got demonized objects that you're going to have to deal with. They've got personalities inside that have not turned to Christ and that are trained in occult ritual, that during the middle of the night they can get up and conjure in ancient demonized languages more demons to come. The coven, if they know you're helping a victim, might leaders may astral project by demonic power to the victim to draw them back, or summon and send demons to try to draw them back. So please understand, it's much more spiritual warfare than any normal believer has been through. More than missionaries on the ground in places, because you're dealing with the fact that inside there are demonic presences, on the outside charged objects, things that may be sent, people that may be demonized that come around, demon sent, astral projecting, all that. So you're going to stand in the gap and cover all those areas. And have others. That's why I'm saying, again, I'll stress all through this week and next week too, about if you're going to get in there and help individuals. And the best thing I can tell you in that is just simply like Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. You step out and surrender to Christ, yielded to the Spirit of God, deeply invested in the Word of God, seeking every gift of the Spirit you possibly can, looking for all God's grace, and say, God, I'm going to serve. and I want to become stronger. I want to become bolder. And you know, you might not feel that you're highly equipped, but in the process of helping, as in soul winning, anything else, you will, you have Jesus there. That's why mark down Mark's Gospel 16:20. Mark 16:20. If you mark down Mark 16:20 again, the disciples went out everywhere. They're unleashing the gospel, the power of God, the good news. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that followed. You can expect that if you believe him. You can expect that in the hotbed of working with demonized victims, and they are victims, by the way, little girl in Sacramento, without question, would be a victim. No 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old just leaps into Satanism, into deep Illuminati issues, and wants to shed blood and sacrifice kids and sell their soul to Satan, unless that's the way they were, you know, pulled and raised. So Mark's Gospel 16:20. I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord will stand by your side. I'm going to tell you right now, come hell or the covenant high water, God is bigger. Greater is he who's in you and on you and with you and around you and above you and below you than anything the gates of hell present. But you stand in his presence. You stand in his power. That's what Philip did when he went into the demonized city in Samaria, Acts 8. There's your example. Acts 8. He went by himself even. And there's times you have to, but I love having teams. I love building teams. I love taking individuals. And you're going to hear from one of those individuals, part of my team that's been with me on the field 20-some years. You'll hear him in about 40 minutes. Number one, you got to battle the demonic on behalf of them. And you're going to have to go against the demons in them, demonized objects, demonized necklaces, amulets, writings, materials, demonized visits, demonized astral projection visits. You're going to have to attack the coven spiritually if you've got an SRA that you're working with. Many in the past that began to work with an SRA got blown out of the waters because they had no idea what they're dealing with, and they had no idea how to unleash and be preemptive in spiritual warfare. Remember the five A's? Please, awareness, number one. Alert, that is the impending danger issue. Very vigilant, spiritually speaking. Number three, the armor, I like to say the authority of Christ, then the armor of God, number four, and then action. All of that, if you have the awareness and the alertness and the armor and the authority, but don't step out into action, what good is that? So please understand this, vital that we have all five of those operative as actual normal practices in the believer as a warrior for Christ and as a soul winner. Protecting the victims, number one, demonic issues. You got to go against the demonic. Number two, suicidal programming. And that can also erupt as Punisher. Well, we'll talk about Punisher programming in a minute, but three levels of programming, because you've got personalities inside victims. Whether they are 12 or 22 or 45 or 59, out of any of those generations, if you're working with any of them, inside of them, they will have certain personalities that have been embedded with suicide programming that if you find out too much or if they don't do their job or if they don't come or whatever else, that may kick in and you will have to both pray against the demonic empowerment. You'll have to engage them verbally concerning the programming to, and pray for the Spirit of God to engage the programming, engage the mind. The Spirit of God knows how to convince, go to the deepest level, for you to give Scripture, and the Word of God is living and active to pour it in, and you might have to really watch them on the suicidal issues. Number three, runner programming. Okay? Number one is demonic attack. Number two is suicide programming. Number three is runner programming. Inside every SRA I have ever met, inside our runner, that is, personalities who are trained, programmed, and I believe demonically charged, that if they're cornered, if they don't get to the place they're supposed to go, if anybody's trying to get the information, or if a trigger comes in, they pop up and just All they know is to run. Eventually get to a phone, make a phone call to the coven, what they would consider a safe house, call them to come and get them, meet them. In all the years, I would say 99% of the time when runner personalities kicked in, unless we were right next to them or that we were in the car and they had a seatbelt on, we never caught them. And sometimes we didn't see them for 2 or 3 days. So when it comes to protect, and we didn't know that in the beginning, all of a sudden 11 o'clock kicks in. This happened again and again. 11. We didn't know it until all of a sudden we realized every time on a Friday, Saturday night when we were trying to protect the victim from the coven and keep them away, when the clock struck 11 or the digital clock clicked 11, instantly a runner popped up. I mean, would open the car door and jump out at 40 miles an hour, roll and run. Or in a room, wherever it might be, they'll fight to get out to run. That's all they know. It's programming, and it's empowered, I think, demonically. So pray against the demonic side of it in the name of Jesus. Command that to be broken. Speak to them. Hold them. And tell them that that's not their job any longer. Listen, the second half of this training course, after 18 weeks, we'll get into the healing side more and more. But that's part of what you're going to do when you begin to work with them. Point three, they're going to have programmed runners, and they're going to run from you at times. And there's times that we didn't find them, we didn't catch them, we didn't see them till 3 days later. And there's many times they were beaten and hurt and or whatever else. Very good. Thank you. Appreciate that. In the classroom here, in the book Black Awakening, we do go over detailed issues regarding the types. And I only probably mentioned a fourth of the kinds of individuals programmed. But under five factors of protecting the victims, number four, a punisher, a programmed punisher on the inside, or if you want to say it, punisher programming. Now, that can also be from the demonic. And I'm going to tell you, with every ounce of, before the presence of the Lord, I've watched right in front of my face where punishers, sub-personalities inside, would actually get control of an arm and punch the person in the face or pull out something and cut their other arm to where they, as the punisher, was hurting the one that was trying to tell or the one that was trying to get away or the one that wasn't compliant to the coven. Punishers will cut. Punishers will throw them to the ground. Punishers will make them beat their head on a wall. Pray against the demonic. Hold them. Speak to them strongly. Ask the Holy Spirit to break the programming. Talk to them because you're dealing with human will that has been tranced out in a sense or fixed, and human will is pliable. Command the demonic all off, and sometimes you'll see an instant relaxing, and they'll realize that they're not some high-powered, super satanic soldier, that they're really a 13-year-old that's been programmed, trained, punished themselves, and demonized. Number five, sometimes you do have the issues of death. Now, when I say number one, demonic attack's going to come from inside, outside, all around, and you're going to have to cover all the bases. They will not know how to do a lot of spiritual warfare in the beginning at all. You and the team that you're building is going to have to do that. Number two, suicide programming. Number three, runner programming. Number four, punisher programming. But number five, physical threat and death. Physical threat and death. And I think it's very important to understand that the coven will threaten them with death. But I'll tell you this, after 30 years of working with victims, we've heard death threat after death threat. We've seen notes come in. Let me tell you one story. I'm pastoring a church. Here comes one of the victims we are working with. They come to a Sunday morning church service. In the hallway, before I get up on the stage to begin, all the service and preach and do all the rest, big church, big stuff happening. Guess what they do? They pull back their sleeve on their arm. Engraved with a razor blade is my name spelled backwards. It's all bloody. It looks painful, bloody, freshly cut in. One of the personalities was giving a warning. Okay? giving a warning. We've had runners show up where sub-personalities came straight up and told us, we warn you, they're going to come after you. So death threats can come against the victims. Death threats can come against you. We'll talk about you in a moment, but I'm telling the telling you overall, for the most part, we have seen victims brought back, punished, harmed, hurt, reprogrammed, and whatever else, redemonized even, okay? But please understand, too, that they do get death threats, and they will threaten their own family or use whatever they can to get the individual back. See, the coven, the people that know this stuff, think that so much has been invested into them that they've been from pre-birth, at birth, and since birth, demonized, programmed, surrendered over, given over to the satanic side to be used. Well, it's like one told me one time, Russ, they invested so much money, and especially military multiples. They'll tell you this. They don't want to kill them because so much has been invested. They'll play the game to see what we know on dealing with individuals, but the ultimate thing is they want their property back. But there will be death threats to them. But I'm saying 99.99% of the time, there's one case where we saw a victim die by committing suicide, but I cannot tell you honestly whether that was programming or whether they did it to, you know, just to get out of the whole situation. One person. I mentioned really quick here, when the victim showed up in church one Sunday, big church, and pulled up their sleeve to show me the whole length of their forearm, the whole length, in big 2-inch letters, my name, last name Dizdar, was engraved backwards with them telling me that this was part of their punishment and also a warning. It was ugly looking. It looked very painful, too. I mean, just unbelievable. But again, that person, that we're talking, that experience was I would say, 23 years ago. And they're still alive to this day. They might even be listening to this class, but they're not all the way out. There's another issue there. Some victims whose sub-personalities get really ingrained with the dark side and with the sins of the dark side, I mean, addicted sexually, addicted drug-wise, and so forth, you're going to deal with that issue. Believe it or not, you're going to find down the road some want to be in the dark side, and you'll have to deal with that issue. Do all that you can. But there is a principle in the book of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Victims of satanic ritual abuse have been pacified. You got to keep calling them to exercise their will, for God to strengthen them, to work in them, because God wants them to have an active will, surrender to Him, but not surrender to passivity, to just being anything done. So that's part of what they're going to have to, you know, develop. Now, point two on this page 85 is protection for yourself. I'm going to give you three areas that are just, and again, this might not be, you know, four chapters of material, but this is the nitty gritty of what you're going to need. You're going to need this as the nitty gritty if you're going to deal. Protection for yourself, three things. Number one, spiritually. Five A's, anybody? Spiritually. You know, you're allowed to just, in times, just cry out to Jesus, Lord, protect me. I don't know what's going on. Because if you get in there to help an SRA, I guarantee you the demons that are inside the victim are going to want to come after you. That subpersonalities that are priestesses are going to want to send curses and stuff after you. That coven handlers are going to want to summon demons and send them after you. That individuals on the outside of the coven will want to ask or reject to come after you. If they can get you out of the way and show the victim that they've nixed you out of the way, they scared you enough or whatever, then the victim once again falls to that hopelessness. You need to stand strong. And it's not just for yourself. It's for others. You sometimes got to wipe away the blood in your own head and keep going forward like John Wesley. John Wesley, the great evangelist, was in a alleyway preaching the gospel to crowds in England. As he's preaching the gospel, somebody threw a rock and hit him in the head. Blood began to trickle down his forehead. He reached up with his sleeve. He washed away the blood with his sleeve and kept on preaching. I remember the story in the book, By Their Blood. By Their Blood. It's a sequel to the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. By Their Blood. And in that book, it talks about a missionary in South Africa was going to create a missionary outpost that had never been there before at all. Going down the big river, they had people, you know, attack them, steal their stuff. They got sick along the way, didn't have food at times. His wife died along the way, but wanted him to continue. Here's what it says in the book, Once By Their Blood. This missionary, who did create a missionary outpost to bring the gospel to a remote region in South Africa. Here's what it said, and I've never forgotten. I read this 25 years ago. Reduced to eating ants, he went on. Listen, a missionary. Because there's no other food. He was eating ants like the native people were doing. Reduced to eating ants, he went on to create a missionary outpost. If you get involved in this ministry, soul-winning ministry, even Jesus says in the Gospel of Mark, you know, there's times you lose things. I'll tell you bluntly, I've lost vehicles, I lost homes, I lost money, I lost almost, at one point, almost everything. And all the stuff that came into it. But I remember the words of Jesus says, any of you that, you know, gave your life and your whole thing and you surrendered and you served and you did it for the gospel and for his name will not fail to receive brothers, sisters, homes, and everything else now and also including eternal life. You remember that in the Gospel of Mark? Can I tell you something by experience that the Word of God tells that I've experienced? No matter what you lose, God is able to bring back to you in a more powerful, blazing, overwhelming way the good things that God does to counter the bad things the enemy has done far outweighs your pain now and your pain in the midst and your tears in the midst. There are times that by God's blazing presence, power, and victories and things and grace and blowing you away with kindness eradicates the past. It's true. Protect yourself, number one, spiritually. Number one, spiritually. Psalm 91, please know that psalm well. And protecting yourself spiritually means not hiding in a room, not staying away from trouble, I'm not going to go out and soul. Listen, anybody's going to go out soul winning with the idea of praying for healing, with the idea of dealing with demons, with the idea of helping victims if they come your way. And I guarantee if you're out soul winning, you're going to find a victim. Sunday school teachers and children's church teachers may find fourth generation, satanically, ritually abused, chosen ones in their midst. And school teachers, like in Sacramento, just like that. Outburst in the middle of the class and the other kids didn't know what was going on. Would it have been cool if one of the kids trained by their own parents would have got up and said, in the name of Jesus, silence. Jesus, just began to unleash Jesus back. If kids that are 12 or 10 can be learning how to and empowered by the demons to do that stuff, how much more your kids loving Jesus, the Word of God. And I'm talking to the kids. Listen, if you're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I love you. Jesus loves you. He's your best friend. No one's a better friend. No one has greater power. You never have to be afraid. And you can learn to be a powerful spiritual warrior and help your friends at school. I'll never forget the day my daughter comes home from elementary school. The neighbor kid comes over. They're talking about a book they were reading about the second coming of Christ for whatever reason. The little girl didn't know anything about it. My daughter comes up and says, I got to go over to her house because the little girl left and went home. My daughter comes up and says, I got to go over to her and talk to her about Jesus. I said, okay. She went over, to share Jesus with a little girl that, sixth grader that didn't know, that came to Christ, all because they began to have some kind of discussion of the second coming. And my daughter felt, because she'd learned, she grew up, anybody being raised and you had the privilege of learning and growing, praise God, I didn't. At 19 years old, I don't think I knew one scripture verse by memory. I didn't know anything. I was dead spiritually and dumb. dumb in sin. And Satan almost had me. Number two, the Greek word gregoruo. Colossians 4:2, 1 Peter 5:8, the command of the Spirit of God for believers, watch. That's the Greek word gregoruo. Watch with vigilance for the impending danger of the enemy. Well, in 1 Peter 5:8, Peter, who learned what it is to lose in spiritual warfare, then learned what it is to win in spiritual warfare consistently, he writes the warning, led by the Spirit of God. Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around seeking someone to devour. That's normal. All believers have to be vigilant about that issue. And you're to be sober-minded, you're to be alert, you're to be standing in faith. Because every believer goes through, those things. So watch. Be vigilant. That's part of your life. That's part of your life. Number three, protection for yourself. Build a team. Build a team. That's right. Get individuals that can come in with you. Build a team. That might be that you have to pray in finding somebody that becomes a prayer partner, somebody that begins to pray for you, somebody that's in, maybe you're at home, maybe you have somebody around there that can be in this class with you. We've got another 1911. We'll have at least 12 more weeks of this, and they can always go back onto the archives, and there's many other things they can do to catch up, and you can help catch them up. But I want you to know, if you get one person, if one could put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. You know that principle in Scripture? Do you know Jesus sends them out two by twos? And so last Friday, and the week before, and this coming Friday, it looks like this. I'll be with a fully packed vehicle, five individuals, and we'll be going to a designated area, and there's going to be an unleashing of prayer and worship and praise in the car and praying for each other and all the rest as we dig in to areas of the underground in the context of evangelism and healing and deliverance and finding victims. And we'll tell more and more of those stories as we go along in more of these REAP trips that we are doing. Three things to protection for yourself. Now I want to go over three things to protect your team. Course number one, the spiritual side. You're going to have to realize, under protection for your team. Now, protection for yourself was 1, 2, 3. Spiritually protect yourself, build yourself up with your most holy faith, Jude 20, Psalm 91. You've got to do that. If you don't have anybody to preach to you, get up and preach the Word of God to yourself. You don't have to wait. You have the living Christ. You've got God the Holy Spirit. You've got the Helper. You've got the Lord present standing by your side. So don't wait. And then also the watch and alertness, and then the team issue. Well, protection for your team. Let me say, number one, spiritual and physical. People ask me all the time, take them out. When I take individuals to some serious areas, one, I know they can have spiritual attack. And I've seen that. And they've told me about it. They get visitations. They get seen. I've watched a Satanist write down the names of people that are in the truck with us when we're dealing with somebody. So spiritual and physically, when I take folks out, it's possible that something's going to happen. It's possible that, some demonized person, before anybody does anything, jumps on somebody. It's happened. It's possible that we're backwoods somewhere and some victim is showing us a place and somebody comes after us. You ever been shot at? You ever have a truck, you know, drive through the backwoods and fields chasing you? So when you think about a team and you're developing a team spiritually, I'm asking you. You got to understand, I'm praying for you before the class starts. I'm praying for you. I really am. And I'm telling you that you're going to have to be able to stand. And you're going to have to realize that God is ultimately your protector. That he can literally confound the other side. In the Old Testament days of the warfare that Israel would get into with demonized tribes, guess what? Remember the one place where all they had was praise, King Hezekiah and the praise team, and they're just pouring out praise, and the demonized tribe comes, and that the power of God from the praise and God inhabiting just caused the demonized tribe to go crazy, and they basically killed themselves. You got to understand, praise is a big issue, both in your joy of the Lord and in a warfare shielding sense. So number one for you and your team, spiritual and physical. Help them, guard, you know, watch out for them. There are some places I won't take people. Somebody asked me about the story when we had five guys out checking under a bridge deep in a wooded area, and somebody yelled that somebody with a car, you know, somebody's come, and they know we're here, and they're coming to chase. And everybody ran to the car. We took off, you know, from the area. We're all laughing and giggling about who ran the fastest to the car, and realized we left one of our guys behind. I'm telling you that we learned a lot of things over the years. We learned the hard way sometimes. Now, we went back and got him. Everything was fine. But that was a tremendous laugh for us. And that was, but you understand there's times. And that, you know, listen, missionaries in the Sudan, missionaries in other, I mean, try to be a missionary in Iran. By the way, keep praying for that pastor that they're giving more. Hopefully they're going to let him free. So protection for your team, number one, the spiritual and physical well-being, care about them. Number two, legal. Number two, legal. I'm willing to trespass in order to save a child. I'm willing to break through a window or a door to save a child. I am. I'm willing to break in. I'm just being honest with you, frank with you. I'm not telling you to, but I'm telling you, I'm wanting you to know right now that you have to make those kind of decisions. So think in terms of legal protections too, where you drive your vehicle, if you're hiding somebody out. What age are they? Are you hiding a 14-year-old out? Do you have any rights? Can they come and get you? Can they put you, arrest you? You got to think through some of these and think through some of the legal issues. And I'm going to answer a question here in the classroom in a moment, but let me give you number three quickly. Law enforcement, but particularly law enforcement that you know. Across the board over the years, we've had to call in law enforcement. We've learned the hard way. There's some bad apples, some people that don't care. But we also learned by God's providence there's some believers and there's some people that God has really given us that are really great, great individuals that want to do a good job, feel they're serving the Lord and being in the area of law enforcement. But you're going to have to, there may be times when you have to. So it's better, like I'm going to give you on this next page anyway, depending on the time tonight, that you begin to pray now about finding strong believers that are in law enforcement and connecting and making network with people that you can trust. Now, I've got to go back here in the midst of the end of this hour, and I'm really grateful. We have a person here in the chat room classroom, Ron, says, Russ, and this is a question directed to me, can I be saved if I am Catholic? My dear friend, the answer you've already seen in the chat room is yes. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. It doesn't matter if you're Lutheran, Baptist, whoever, whatever background or no background, Jesus came to save all of us. Jesus died for all of us. He comes to all of us, and you may be here because you've been prayed in. And the Bible says that you're to repent of sin, to turn and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus and just receive him into your life. Believe on him, accept him. And I'm just going to tell you how I did it when I got saved 38 years ago. My dad came from a Catholic background. My mom came from a Methodist background. We didn't go to any church. I didn't know anything. So they weren't good Catholics or Methodists in that sense. Neither one was born again, by the way. And there's a lot of Lutherans and Episcopals and Anglicans and Catholics that aren't born again, don't know Jesus. So not just going to a church and just having outward religion doesn't save you. You read the Gospel of John clearly, specifically from chapters 1 through 7, over and over and over again, you're going to see the outlining of directly by Jesus to be saved. And in John's Gospel, chapter 7, Jesus said, you know, I tell you the truth. Verily, verily, you know, I say, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their inmost being would flow. He made reference to the Holy Spirit would come in. So my friend, whoever else is listening by the archives down the road, Jesus is here right now. He's alive. The gospel is the power of God. He is the Savior and the Savior alone. And the Word of God says, read it in John's Gospel or mark down Romans chapter 10, that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That God summons all people everywhere, that he's calling you to come. So repenting of all sin, Lord Jesus, I repent. I just turn away from my sin. I turn away from being a sinner. I acknowledge I'm lost. And Lord Jesus, I turn to you. I surrender to you. I accept you as Lord and Savior and God. Come into my life. I accept the gift of salvation. I accept your forgiveness. And I accept the Spirit of God coming into my life. I accept you right now. Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you should be saved. And this is vital. Anyone, and I don't care what background, if you could have been raised in, you know, an Episcopal church, whatever, but if you don't have Jesus on the inside, let me give you something to think about. The book of Romans chapter 8, what does God say? If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. So right now, anyone listening, anyone by the archives a month from now, you turn to the living Savior. If you know that he's not inside you, he's on the outside. But he wants to get in. It's his will, God's will. God calls you to repent of all the sin issues and your own core sin. Turn to Jesus and surrender your life. Accept him. Receive him as Lord and Savior. And he'll give you the gift of the Spirit of God. He'll come into your life. And so right now, Ron, just pray out. Well, I'll just pray the prayer with you. Lord Jesus, I know you're not on the inside. I want to be saved. I know that you're the Savior. I renounce my sins and I repent and turn away from sin and Satan. I renounce all of that. And I accept you, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, you my Savior. I accept you into my life. I accept the gift of salvation right now. I accept that you forgive me right now. I accept the gift of the Holy Spirit inside of me to be born again. I believe on you and receive you right now. Praise God, Ron, if you do that right now, you can be saved. That's when I got saved 38 years ago. It was right then on that spot that I did that kind of prayer to Jesus and received him. As you're seeing in the chat room, all the folks that have done that. And, you know, that's what, and I would urge you to write me, Ron, directly and go to my website and see the contact tab or just write to shattermailbox@yahoo.com. Somebody can put that up, shattermailbox@yahoo.com. And I've got follow-up material under Dynamic Discipleship and want to help you in any way we can. The rest of the folks there will help you. Father, we all pray for Ron. We pray for anyone else that is listening live right now. We pray for anyone by the archives down the road because you're there then. You transcend time. So, Lord, if there's anyone that has accepted you and repented and turned and believed on the Lord Jesus and received him tonight or at the listening of this show tonight, Jesus, thank you for your word that you promised to save them, that you come into their life, that you're not going to leave them, that they now need to grow and become stronger. And we pray for them, God, protect them and just put your hand on their life and bless them. Well, let me tell you something. We have one page we've gotten through in an hour and we had a lot of stuff. And I pray, and Ron, you tell us if you put in that chat room, if you have done that tonight, That's what God calls. That's what God summons us to, repentance of the sin issue and so forth, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read that in the Gospel of John. You could read that in the book of Acts. You can read that in Romans chapter 10, and you'll see all that it says is what we're telling you. And if you've done that to receive the living Savior, Christ, let us know. Let us know. Anyone else that has done that, let us know. The rest of you participated right now also in a spiritual warfare, occult crimes class, but also an evangelism class. And we know that this will happen along the way. We know that there's going to be people delivered from demonic stuff along the way, too. We're at 8:33. I've got a call-in guest coming at 8:35. So let's listen. We're going to take a five-minute break, and we're going to be back in 5 minutes to continue the second half. And we look forward to seeing you here. Five-minute break.